were defined as what the locals would want from those who sat on the advisory council.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, I guess my point is, if those are conditions that are laid down by the BRAC that we are important to honor, then clearly someone has to be able to fit the bill for that. And which leads me also to the question that I know with the O'Hare Western Bypass, et cetera, that there is a commitment of local, for local contribution. What are we, where are we on that in terms of that discussion with this project?
I think that would be one of the elements that this finance committee is supposed to be fleshing out a little bit more. I mean, we certainly communicated to the BRAC, and I think everybody's aware that the expectation that was set in the alternate care project we would expect to continue from the board, that, you know, the locals participate at some level. There's not been any percentage or anything else that's been put out there as an expectation, but as you're talking about defining some of these unique elements, you know, maybe that can be a starting point for thinking about that.
Go back to the environmental performance measures. Given the governor's charge to the two of us when we came here about having this be the exemplary environmental tollway in the country, I understand your point, but I also think this exercise might be very fruitful for us because it really does begin to quantify what it takes to go to, sounds like a completely different level. I mean, it's also, it's about both the legal responsibilities, but it's also about thinking about our long-term sort of self-assessment. I know, Paul, you had some contracts in here recently trying to look at how certain types of paving and other things were stood up in the environmental measurements of it. So I think we should think about this as also a way of getting our heads around what does it mean to be the national environmental leader model in this way.
Yeah, and I mean, what we're talking about here may be, you know, the way of the future in a lot of ways, and perhaps it should be. But I think the thing that does concern me here is that the other features of this project, such as the 45-mile-hour speed limit, you know, if you're trying to pay for things with revenues from that project itself and be equitable and fair about it and not be subsidizing it too much with revenues from elsewhere in the system. And then, but you have a 45-mile speed limit, I think it's going to be interesting in the feasibility study to see under those conditions, you know, how elastic that demand curve is for use of the facility, because I guess it would either be greater elasticity under those circumstances than it would be otherwise. But I think you make a very good point, Madam Chair.
Maybe painful, but it's something that will give us some more information.
And there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, there'll
be some very unique and interesting elements here. I mean, I do, of course, have to point out that we are already incredibly aggressive.
Yeah.
In what we do and go beyond what many other, not only tollways in the country, but departments of transportation in the, let's just say, region and the country are doing. So, but absolutely there might be, whether this is an opportunity for a test bed or some new concepts that could be applied more broadly.
Or just to say, you know, these standards may be so extreme and therefore expensive that if we're going to be meeting these kinds of standards in the future, we're going to have to think about this kind of cost per mile or whatever it is.
Right, right.
So that we're laying out publicly what the implications are for the expectations.
I don't think we want to be in any way looking like we're treating this community differently than we have other communities for a lot of the reasons that will be, you know, pointed out by others.
Yeah. And I think that's why I was asking, when they say equitable, do they mean equitable within that corridor, or do they mean equitable in a broader region?
So if I could just point out one of the, I guess, a subtle difference between the project impact and environmental. Our projects, we look at the direct impact of the project. What it was suggested as part of this is it's not just about your direct impact, it's all the induced development that comes from this project. So it's the impacts that you have from physically building a roadway. But once you've built that roadway, you generate some new development, and there's that indirect and induced impact that's somewhat attributed to this. That's why the Restoration Trust Fund was established. So it's not just for what happens with this project, it's what happens because of this project. So it's broader. Some of the other things that I think are absolutely, like you said, is worth exploring that we're looking at. So what are the maintenance and operation costs of some of these for these performance measures? We don't know right now. That's going to definitely.
But I think if we could get a good cost differential between us, you know, a what we call a standard, mm-hmm. the way that we may have be building it some other place, with the way that the tollway has enhanced environmentally the way they build, compared to the cost that's borne out by these demands, I think really needs to be looked at. And from what you're looking at in these enhancements, it's some fairly very costly requests.
And what I found, you know, as a mayor, is that, you know, a lot of times you blanch at the original capital cost of the project, and it seems expensive. When in the final analysis over time, it's the maintenance costs that end up exceeding the original capital cost. So those have to be well considered in advance and calculated to some degree.
Okay. A parkway system is going to have a lot more cost than just your normal interstate system.
The other thing that occurs to me is that, you know, there are some unique features here that have financial implications. You know, and I'm not being facetious, I'm maybe just being obtuse, but it isn't part of the move. Illinois budget per se right now, so how would that likely be?
I think that's one of the things that we're looking for the finance committee to help us get to. And this will be work that continues over the next year or more. Just given what we did on the Elgin O'Hare project, we wanted to make sure to provide ample time because I think we extended that deadline once or twice for the group that was working on it. But that would be something that would have to be factored in. Where does the money come from to build whatever the cost of the facility is? Obviously, that's going to be refined in the feasibility phase. Is it 2.1? Is it some other number? You know, what do we see the cost being, and how do we get to that number? There's not an extra $2 billion in the Move Illinois program.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but I mean, that does begin the bigger question.
Well, as long as you tell me it's not there.
I think it begs the question somewhat even more in this case than it might in others in terms of, you know, what is the local contribution. But we have a finance committee that will do it.
And does this local corridor council participate in, I should go back to your blue, orange, and the land use committee? Mm-hmm. Participate in those kinds of discussions, or where did the discussions about local contribution come from?
There will be significant overlap between the two committees. The same mayors that are involved in the land use committee will also be involved in the finance committee. And the intention is when we have those meetings, we'll have them on the same day in the same place so that it could be a very fluid conversation.
Because I remember back in my naive days when we talked about things like the Elgin O'Hare and local people talked about the economic impact, and we call it the economic development here. On the one hand, they also talked about the fact that they didn't want to make a local contribution. And it always seemed to me that if you're getting something, you ought to be able to give something so that we can somehow marry those. If they're the same people, I presume, mm-hmm. as long as we can ask them not to compartmentalize, yeah. We can get them to start thinking that way.
That is absolutely the intent.
And I think CMAP prioritizes this project based on traffic mitigation itself, but I agree. I think, you know, a lot of chatter on the O'Hare West Bypass was about the economic development potential that it would create. And is that going to be clearly assessed as part of the feasibility study or the finance committee work?
Part of the land, so the economics.
Land use.
Yes, it's going to have, again, kind of in both areas. There's going to be the land use work that will identify those areas for potential economic development. You could use that to say, okay, here's where the growth is going to come and what that magnitude of economic development would be. And where, not just the magnitude, but where it happens. So, you know, I didn't think about is there a way to use that as the source of the contribution, which was already identified in the report. There's about $286 million of some of their value capture, special service assessments, some local tax or something that would be assessed. They just, again, don't want to call back at the envelope, very high level, yeah, we can do something. You know, it's tying that.
Is there a desire, local community desire for economic development as part of this? Unlike the Elsinore?
I'm going to say this. I think on the CMAP stuff, this is exactly what we're going to find out. What the intent of the land use, and why this is ultimately critical to do this land use work now and do it as part of the studies. You know, we're talking about a different type of roadway, the slimmed down roadway, 4-lane, 45-mile-per-hour. What type of economic development is there out there? And what we need is one comprehensive, cohesive, yes, all some 20 municipalities, whatever, high-teen municipalities, we all agree that this is what we want. So there's a challenge on the land use side of things, too, to get that many communities to think about what they are today and where they want to be. That was the issue that we had, is every community, soon they were going to be the next Schomburg, and everybody was going to have all this economic development. Everybody's going to have the next big commercial area. Well, that wasn't realistic. So it's a matter of, okay, let's wake ourselves up and get your think about what it is that you want to be as a corridor and a county. So then we could better plan this roadway. Does it fit into the fabric of what you're looking for? Is it so there's a lot of work that has to be done there, and that's why these have to go hand in hand.
What was behind your question is the difference between the sort of fabric or the texture of Lake County and the Elgin O'Hare. Do these communities want economic development that defined the same way?
I mean, and let's be honest, part of the pulling up of a project that probably should have been done years ago was the community not wanting to see this accelerate development. The development occurred, and now we have gridlock, but I don't think they wanted to enhance development. I don't know. You need to find that out from the community, because if that's not going to be what the community want, there's not going to be that, you know, ability to tap those, you know, those developments for paying for part of the cost.
Well, it has been articulated to us by many of the communities on this corridor that they do want the economic development, and the lack of this major roadway or a corridor here is holding up economic development. There may still be, though, of course, those one or two communities that have a different perspective, but I think making that a little bit more clear.
And we may also need to help them and us define what economic development may mean in this setting. It may mean more people living in bedroom communities as opposed to great
shopping
distribution centers or things like that. Again, you know, they derive a broader base for their property taxes and able to deliver services and that kind of stuff by maybe getting more concentrated populations in those communities, which is maybe a form of economic development. I don't typically think of.
Yeah. Well, an interesting thing that we've been hearing about the economic development is the impact that's happening right now is businesses going to Wisconsin because there's a perceived better transportation up in Wisconsin, so that's what they think is negative. Not having this roadway is a negative economic impact on them right now, so it's not just, I mean, it's...
Well, as a county, they do have a 294.
They absolutely
corridor,
do.
Corridor, which is a huge driver.
We recently heard is that 294 also drives people to go to Wisconsin because it's now so easy and fast to get into Wisconsin.
It's got walkers in through.
That's what I thought when I heard that one.
Speed bumps up there.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. Thank you very little is what I thought at that point. So maybe that's something that we need to look at. I mean, so economic development from evaluation criteria, we could look at that economic development potential. Congestion relief, is that something that we want to... from again, criteria of things that when we bring it back to the board, you know, what does it say?
Does the CMAP study and recommendation on 53-120 cover that pretty well already? Or not?
On congestion relief,
they prioritize it on that.
They have prioritized it. We will be doing again some modeling of the traffic impact. I think they adopted some different assumptions about the characteristics of the roadway, so we will be revisiting those.
Mm-hmm. are there any other things that you think that we should be considering? Again, what we would like to do is go back to the Finance Committee and to tell them, here's what is important for our board to see, to really get them on a mission, to make sure they know what that end game is. Are the things that you'd like to see, report-wise, information, you know, stuff that we just discussed today, is there anything else?
No, I mean, I think what may be very important to remember is you have a lot of different entities now looking at different aspects of this project, including things that are already on the shelf. And so I think integrating, you know, a feasibility study going, you've got now this finance group, et cetera, I think integrating all of that information successfully has been very important to be able to do some decision making.
We're looking at the absolute right person when you brought that statement up.
And that also raises the issue of timing. In other words, are we going to have the luxury of having those informational inputs come together at relatively the same time? So,
it will be tricky. I mean, CMAP is a few months behind. As you know, in the previous committee meeting, there was discussion about an IGA to support their work, so they are a few months behind. But our hope is that through coordinating, we'll be able to get some of the information that we need up front from them to make sure that we're still on course.
Part of it's commitment of those who are involved in the Finance Committee and involved in the project, too. I think that's what we really realized with Elgin O'Hare. There was many meetings. You had to sit down face-to-face to work out the issues, and it was a commitment from those who were involved to try to get the solutions. Nobody was that happy, but we worked through it. So I think that's part of it, too, is getting people to really... I think there's no doubt about people realize this is an opportunity that... It could be their last opportunity. We've been talking about this project for 50-some-odd years. Continuing to drive it. And I think people realize there's problems out there now.
So, not to in any way reduce the importance of the distinctiveness of this project, but I do think in terms of what kinds of information would be useful, are there other things that are close to this around the country or the world? I mean, they talk about how this is going to be something so different, and I don't doubt that it is, but it's always helpful to have some practical, feasible comparisons that were successful or unsuccessful.
And maybe to further that point, maybe not just the facility as a whole, but even the component parts.
Yes.
So, you know, is there a toll road exactly like this anywhere? Maybe the answer is no, but these component parts are used in this area or that area.
Yeah. Or even if it's not a toll road, I mean, just thinking about what's comparable in some ways. It's wonderful to have the highway projections and all of that, but we see the congestion projections, but I think because this is being touted as being so unusual, we really need to be able to ground it in something pretty practical.
And just to reemphasize, I think being able to characterize the long term, if there are unique elements that require long term maintenance commitment that we're not used to, that just being able to assess that as accurately as possible. So, more.
And I think on that score, too, if there are other entities that have shared maintenance commitments, or the locals take the maintenance commitment and the transportation entity doesn't.
Sure, and that might make sense there too. It's a big burden for one entity to take all this on. So another aspect of this project, just to alert you to this, is legal and regulatory challenges. This is not, we need to look within the context of our own Toll Highway Act to see what changes may need to be incorporated to deliver a project like this. There are things that may be unique here. We're going to look at the state level. Regulatory requirements, it may be some of these things that we may be able to do should be better aligned with the level of immunity that is provided to the state, especially if you can have some different approaches. This type of roadway speed and whatever kind of environmental is there. So those are, that's going to be another thing that we're going to be looking at. If we talk about some of these local financing options, we need to understand what is it going to take to implement those. If there's a special service area or something like that, it's what's the framework of getting multiple communities to buy into a large TIF or special service district. So that's going to be another, I think, effort. And that might, you know, something that will obviously keep you apprised of as well. But that might also have to, you know, come into factoring into how we look at the project taking on, how much of a challenge is there, and what really needs to happen. Is there a commitment to make those changes? I think that was, you know, one thing that would definitely keep you apprised of as well.
Maybe I'm the only one, but can you give us a sense of the overall timeline?
Overall
timeline
for whole study or the whole thing?
The whole thing, is when we build in the study and when, at what points, and I, not with precision, but at what points you'd be coming back to the board.
I'll give you planning precision.
Okay.
Right, right. It's taken 50 years, so anything less than 50 years right now, I'm in the ballpark, right?
Okay.
No, I think the time frame, I think with this next 18 months, with it, you know, at the end of this process, I think the decision will come here to this board. Do we want to take it to the next step? What that next step is doing some form of environmental study. It depends on how the project will be financed. It could be a NEPA, which is a federal document. If there's going to be some federal funding, federal actions part of the project, a NEPA document would have to happen on this project. You're talking about 2 to 3 years to do something like that. And that, you know, and the good thing about everything that we're doing right now and the commitments here, if we move forward with this, a lot of the clutter about the environmental discussion should go away. You really put some of the framework in place to help speed up a NEPA document.
I know you mentioned 18 months, but I think our goal has been to come back to the board, certainly periodically over that 18-month mm-hmm. period, but to get to some point of decision, whether it's simply let's take the next step or not on a NEPA document, or there's enough here that, yes, the NEPA would be the next step, but maybe there's even a commitment that we've got enough, we have a plan, we know how to pay for it, we're just going to move forward, and yes, we have to do NEPA as part of that, or no, this is something that we can't, and we need to abandon. We hope to be able to get to that with the board at the end of next year, or toward the end of next year. So that means that you would, end of 2014, latest would be beginning of 2015, but we really are trying to drive to the end of 2014. There may be trigger points in this process between now and then that, you know, these committees or this work will require us to come back to you and potentially not move forward beyond that. But one issue here is that we do have all of these things moving on parallel paths, and they do inform each other. We had a little bit of a discussion at the Finance Committee meeting because we were approving some funding for CMAP mm-hmm. to do the land use study, but obviously there are elements of the land use study that will inform the feasibility work that we've contracted out, and there are elements of the land use study that will even inform the Finance Committee work because, as you mentioned, you know, are we expecting economic development? It's one of the things that the land use group is supposed to be thinking about, and thinking about how to maximize or do what this group wants to do with economic development, and does some of that benefit accrue to this project, for instance. So lots of moving parts that we'll need to synchronize, but hopefully all ending with, if not decision points along the path, and certainly something that we can come back to you with hopefully at the end of next year to really decide yay or nay.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we just want to, as you said, take the next step, whatever that incremental step is.
Other things that would be looked at as part of the phasing of the project, when you say how long would it be, what are the logical phases? We're seeing with Elgin O'Hare, it's a prolonged implementation, but it's a logical phasing that you build a piece, you generate some revenue on it. So that's something that I think we've heard that there's willingness from the local standpoint. They don't expect 26 miles to open on one ribbon cut. Mm-hmm. It would be, okay, what might that implementation be to generate revenue, limit your financial exposure, and continue to roll out that way.
And this is probably a stupid question, I'm sorry, but in our other experience of dealing with things like this and the local people, do you get a resolution passed by the local city council or something that then is binding, even if we get new city councils and new mayors and talk about legal constraints. The mayor's going to take out his panties.
Well, what we did with the Elgin O'Hare, it was a voice vote by all those who sat on the finance committee of what those principles were, that they said, yes, you know, this is the way we would like you to see you build the Elgin O'Hare project, and that's pretty much what we're doing right now. So it was.
But you're saying we don't necessarily, or we hadn't, I think, on Elgin O'Hare required them or asked them to go back and get something ratified from their council. We held them to their word. There was a record in the document. Ultimately, you know, when all of those communities come to consensus like that, if a new mayor is elected or there's a change in leadership, you know, often it's consistent with the way they've thought about the project, but it's something that we could consider. You know, are there resolutions of support or something else that's a little broader than any individual, you know, mayor's vote? Although, you know, we've taken to heart that a democracy is about people representing.
But you never know if the other people will end up upset about it. We had somebody else put it. And maybe it's a legal hurdle that you don't need to think about. I'm just thinking.
Or maybe it's a legal hurdle we need to take on, right? I mean, that could be something. Again, we take this to the finance committee. Yeah. Let it be known to the members of the finance committee that here's what we're going to expect. Here's what the board would like to see. And if you'd like to see some resolution from the cities to say that we support your findings, that
it just
might
seems
not be a bad thing.
If the stakes continue to increase as they seem to, and if we're asking for dramatic local participation in some way, whether it's involvement or a financial participation, it would be good with as many different communities as we have along here to have some kind of understanding about the consistency of the local commitment to it, so you don't have Maverick community pulling out and saying over my dead body, and then the whole thing either blows up or you.
I will say in CMAP's work, their intent is once they've established a quarter of land use plan, they will ask each, they will be going to the individual boards for adoption of that plan.
But that's a land use plan.
Yeah, which may not be the financial.
And we may need something else. There was a countywide referenda that went through, I don't know, four years or so ago.
But
non-binding.
It was pretty general.
It was very general.
Yeah, I mean, I think the referendum that you would be talking about, I'm assuming, is a referendum that says you have, you know, position A, this enhanced project, and position B is a, maybe for lack of a better term, a more normal project. If you're willing to pay the higher toll, it's A. The other is B, as a community.
Yeah,
a
I was
broader
not,
community.
Yeah, that would be one way of doing it. I wasn't even thinking of making them choose. I was thinking of saying, if these local committees, or these, you know, the finance and the land use committees agree, and the mayors are committing on behalf of their communities, then their community needs to pass a resolution at the community level saying we're for this and we're going to continue to be for this. We're not going to back out. I don't know what the legal line, but that's a Director Sweeney has a different way of doing this, which would be another community ride or regional ride.
It would be piggybacking on a referendum that the Lake County had done before on just the, like you said, the general up or down on the idea of it.
Right.
I think, you know, the most people on that referendum, it was a typical toll road.
On that referendum, there was nothing about it being tolled.
Right.
Oh, nothing on it.
Nothing
about
it.
Just 53 for free.
Should
okay.
We build
53 for free.
Okay. Right. And that was,
quote-unquote,
76%.
Mm-hmm. It was overwhelming support. Yeah. I mean, clearly people want it. You know, there's always that next step of, do they want it as a tolled facility? Do they want it at 45 miles per hour? Do they want it XYZ? So.
There's a much different animal here than the referendum. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Anything else? I think it was a good discussion. We have nothing under unfinished business. Is there any new business? We have no need for an executive session, so I would entertain a motion.
Motion.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.